Well, thank you so much for worshiping with me this morning. You're awesome. You don't believe it, do you? You're awesome. Believe it. All right. So, hey, I just want to kind of get on the same playing field this morning, and I want to make sure maybe you and I have some of the same experiences in life. And I want to ask you, have you ever been in a room or been in a situation when a certain person walked in the room and everything changed? For example, you're in your room minding your own business, and the person who manages the home, who sets the regulations of what your room's supposed to look like, walks in the room. It changes everything. You know, if you're a student here and maybe you're going back to school tomorrow, I know it's hard, but we're going back to school tomorrow, right? Does everything change when the principal walks in the room? Yeah. Because the principal, she or he embodies the culture that's being cultivated in that organization. Now, let me tell you a brief story about an encounter that I had with authority. When I was a teen, I remember going to, we had a youth worker, a female, and she said, hey, we're going to take you guys all to Corpus Christi for a youth event. So we went to Corpus Christi, and, you know, we're having a good time, and we're sitting there having dinner. And, you know, I'm sitting with a bunch of guys, you know, and we're sitting talking about guy stuff. And, of course, there's a bunch of beautiful women walking around at the youth event, right? And we're talking, you know, about, you know, some of those young ladies. And I'm sitting there, and I'm facing my buddies. And unbeknownst to me, I started to look at the faces of my brothers, my comrades. And it kind of looked something like this. Unbeknownst to me, my beloved youth worker was standing behind me when I was saying a few things. And at that moment, I knew I was in trouble. Because a certain person walked in the room and changed everything. And that certain person, because she loved me, she took me aside and she said, you know, that's not how we talk about our sisters, Lonnie. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Can I go back to my desk or back to my table? You know. Have you ever had one of those moments? When a person walks in the room unexpectedly and changes everything. Now, I'll tell you, just this week, I was working with the Army, and my wife and I were at a dining out, and a one-star general and a two-star general were at dinner with us, okay? Now, remember, these guys, they are in charge, and they steward the vision of the Army, and they also embody the ethics or the ethos of the Army. And let me tell you, when they show up to an event, everything changes. Do you agree with me? Have you ever had an experience where you walked in the room and because of one person's presence, everything changed? Okay? I say that to say this. What if Jesus came in those back doors right now? What if Jesus walked through those back doors right now and made his way up to the altar? You think Jesus would change everything? I believe so. You think he would change the mood of the room? Yes, I believe so. Because remember, Jesus embodies the mission, the reason why we exist. Jesus, the King, embodies our moral compass. Jesus is the standard. And when Jesus the King walks in the room, everything changes. Amen? But I don't know about you, but if Jesus was to walk into the room right now, you know what would be going through my head? Because there's a part of me that knows I'm not worthy to stand in his presence. Because he's the standard. And there's a part of me, and maybe it's a part of you too, where you might ask yourself this question: have I done enough? Have I done enough? Do I deserve to be in his presence? Have I done enough? And I don't know about you, but I think it's a tension that we all live with every day. And you know why we live with that tension? Because we don't meet the standard. Because there's a part of all of us that believes somewhere in here that maybe, just maybe, I haven't done enough to deserve God's love and his grace. Maybe I need to do more. Maybe I haven't done enough to deserve his grace and his love for me. And so what I want to do for us today is allow God's word to speak to our conscience today as if Jesus had walked in the room and inform us on how we ought to believe about ourselves and about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Okay, so let me invite you to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And as you're making your way there, you know, the last couple of weeks, if you hadn't been with us, our senior pastor, Pastor Dan, has been talking about these therefores, right? Right? Therefore, right? Well, therefore started somewhere, okay? And I want to just to help us get a little bit caught up today, what you don't understand is in the Roman or in the Greek text, there's no punctuation. So Paul really has a ongoing sentence for like chapters with no periods. And it's all pointing back to one verse. And it's verse, go back a page or two to chapter 4, verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. Everything is hinging on this. Okay. Romans chapter 4, verse 3 says this: what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Therefore, okay? So the scriptures, the Holy Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, that Abraham what? Believed God. Do you realize that not everybody you know believes God? That not everybody you know trusts God for their eternal salvation? Are you in agreement with me on that? Not everyone we know believes God. But it says here, Abraham believed God. And because he put his faith and because he believed God, God put money into his bankrupt account. Hallelujah! Because without Jesus, we're all bankrupt. But when you receive Jesus, God accredits your account. And he says to you, you are righteous. And you know what righteous means? It's a legal word that means not guilty. Woo! Sorry. A little loud. I'm excited about this. Not guilty. You are not guilty. Because God in Christ has accredited to your account because of this simple thing you have done and I have done. We have decided to believe in Jesus and believe in God. Amen? Together. Okay, and then the next text I need you to know, you don't need to go to it, I'll just, in order for you to really understand what we're about to talk about in chapter 5, verse 12, I don't know if you guys remember back in Genesis what happened. The Lord God commanded man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will surely... Okay, those two in mind, faith and that moment, let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. So verse 12, therefore, just as Abraham had faith and God accredited it to his account as righteousness, therefore, just as sin became into the world through one man, so sin came into the world through one man. What's his name? Adam, okay. So we actually believe that here at Glory Day, okay. And imagine that there's a target back there, okay, and Pastor Lonnie has a bow and arrow. Are you feeling confident? No? You shouldn't, all right. So there's a target over there, and Pastor Lonnie lets go of the arrow, and he misses it completely. That's sin. Because Adam missed it completely, and he ate from the one tree when there were so many others he could have ate from. But one man missed the whole target. And because one man missed the target, sin came into the world. Okay? So just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. So because of sin, death came. And so death spread to all men because all have sinned. You agree with me? Has anybody experienced death before? I have. It's because of sin. It's because we live with sin. Verse 13, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin was not counted where there was no law. So how do we know? I mean, by the way, who gave us the law? You guys remember? Oh, God gave it, yeah. But through who? Moses! Oh, you guys are so smart. So God gave the law through Moses. He says here that sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. And how do we know that sin was in the world before God gave his 10 words? Because of death. Because of death. We knew sin was even there, even before we knew what it was supposed to look like through the 10 words. But sin is not counted where there's no law. So once sin came into the world, once the law came into the world, we could start to count our sin. Now, I got a lot of sin just on me. Now, take me times you. We got a lot of sin. Are we in agreement? Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. But it says here, yet death reigned. What's that mean? Let's personify death. Imagine that death walked through that door right now. Would it change the way the room feels? What if death came in the room and he told all of us to get up and walk out that door with him? Would it change the way you feel right now? Who wants to walk out the door with death? Not me. But if death walked through that door, if death reigned, and you could feel death's presence, would you walk out the door with him? Would it change the way we feel right now? I believe it would. But thank God there's a but. Are you ready? 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass. So God offers us a free gift, and it's not like the trespass. Now, what's a trespass? Okay. A trespass is any time our sin offends God. Okay? So a trespass might look like this. Lonnie, you look fat today. I cannot believe you said that out loud. I'm offended by that. Our sin offends God. That's what a trespass is. But the free gift, this gift that God gives us, is not like the offenses, not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more had the grace of God and the free gift of grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. So what he's saying here, even as sin came through one man's trespass, how much more did grace come through the one man, Jesus Christ? So let's imagine that death walked through the door and we said goodbye to death. And then Jesus walks through the door. Now, how many here want to go out the door with Jesus? That's right. Why? Because he's grace. How much more, if death is in the room, how much more when Jesus is in the room that there's grace
There's this, you know what grace is? God loves you despite you. I smell with all kinds of sin, but somehow God ignores the smell and he embraces me anyway. Why? Because he loves me and he loves you. Okay? So it goes on to say in verse 16, for the free gift, this gift that you didn't earn, that I didn't earn, is not like the result of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one man's sin brought condemnation. So because of one man's sin, we're all judged, and it brought condemnation to everybody. You know what condemnation is? You're guilty. It's as if you stood before a court of law, and everybody in the room, including your lawyer, knows you're guilty. And everybody's like this. I know where he's going. That's being condemned. Listen to this. You need to hear this. Do you realize everybody you know who doesn't have Jesus already stands condemned? Because you don't get the gift if you don't get Jesus. Jesus is the one that releases the free gift. Everyone you know who does not profess Jesus to be their Savior already is condemned. Because of what? One offense. One offense. One sin. But, oh, another but. Don't laugh. I know you want to. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So the free gift that followed all of our sin brought a not guilty sentence to us. That's what justification is. That you and I no longer stand, because of our faith in Jesus, condemned. Verse 17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, so death walked through there, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. As much as death walks into our lives every day, how much more does God's grace walk through the door every day through Jesus? Verse 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation of all men, so one act of righteousness led to the justification of all men. So as one act led to everybody being condemned, one act led to everybody being pronounced not guilty. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, because one person missed the mark, the many were sinners. So that the one man who was obedient unto death on the cross for you and for me, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase our trespass. So the law, God gave us the law so we can look in the mirror and see our need for a Savior. The law was given to us to see that without Jesus, we're bankrupt. But with Jesus, we have eternal life. But where their sin increased, so as we see our sin and we see our unworthiness, grace abound all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace is reigning. Grace is present in Christ. And because of God's grace in Christ, we stand not condemned, but forgiven, released. And it leads to where? Eternal life. That if you put your faith and believe in Jesus as your Savior today, your eternity is secure. You will spend eternity with Jesus. Amen? Okay. So let's bring this home. So let me ask you something. Earlier, I said that if Jesus was to walk in the door, If Jesus was to walk in the door, would you feel that you are worthy? Would you feel, would you know that you've done enough? Well, here's the good news. God did it all in Christ. If Jesus was to walk into this room right now, you could get out of your seat with full confidence and walk out with him. Amen? Okay. Now that changes everything, doesn't it? It changes everything. Now here's the thing. It ought to change our attitude. It should come to the core of our heart and change the way we treat, the way we look at each other. It ought to change the way our attitude is toward each other. Okay? And so, let me ask you this. Is attitude all that important? You guys ever heard of Winston Churchill? Winston Churchill said this. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Do you believe that? Your attitude, seasoned with grace, can make a whole difference in the lives of people you know. Anybody ever heard of Chuck Swindoll? He's a much better preacher than I am. And he said this. We can't change our past. We can't change the fact that people act a certain way. We can't change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have. And that's our attitude. So here's what I wanted to ask you today. We have to make a decision today. Are we going to walk out those back doors with an attitude of death or with an attitude of grace? Are we going to walk out those back doors with which attitude? Now, let me tell you what an attitude of death looks like. Well, you're not good enough. You don't deserve to be my friend. Look at what you've done. An attitude of death looks something like this. You know what? I wish you'd do more for me. If you did more for me, I might love you more. That's what an attitude of death looks like. And I got to be honest with you. As a father, as a husband, as a friend, I can tell you with all honesty, I have brought death to my house because of my attitude. But I ask God today, and I ask you to ask God as well. Ask God to help us have an attitude of grace. So that when I look at you and you look at me and I say, you know what, I love you. Now, I know you're not perfect. And neither am I. But I love you because Christ loves you. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. And because of that, I love you. I care about you. I want the best for you. You see how that is a different attitude? And how that can change the room. Let me ask you this. Do you believe, would you agree, that your attitude can change the way the room feels? Yes or no? Yes. I agree with you. And so tomorrow, you guys are going to walk out the door in just a minute. And tomorrow, you get to make a decision. Am I going to look and have an attitude of grace or an attitude of death? Let me tell you something. You can't do it without God's help. Because neither can I. And I pray that God would come to you in a new and fresh way. And that he would call you to go into your workplace, to go to your school tomorrow, to go wherever you're going tomorrow. And enter into that room with an attitude of grace and see what happens. Amen.